Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Porn stash or radical Islam at heart of Pensacola shooting? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Well, yes, we've all heard about the tragic Pensacola shooting, the shooting on December 6th, 2019 at the Naval Air Station at Pensacola, Florida. Well, certainly, even though, you know, the reports are still, they're still mulling it over whether it's terrorism, right? The perpetrator, the shooter, Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani, is 21 years old, was 21 years old. He was killed in the attack. And he is a Saudi national. And not that that necessarily makes him absolutely a terrorist, but it certainly does bring a lot of suspicion, especially when you hear some of the rest of the story. Now, let me just tell you some of the details, remind you of some of the details of the incident, and then I will tell you about this whole porn stash issue. And the question of whether this was an individual insult that he took offense of, that motivated him to attack, or whether it was that he was really a radicalized Islamist and this was purely a terrorist attack. There are things to suggest both. And in fact, it doesn't really have to be either or. It can be an underlying terrorist ideology that he believed in. He was radicalized, as well as it being tipped off by a teacher embarrassing him in front of his whole class by calling him porn stash. So we'll get into that. You might be wondering why he was called porn stash and so on. We'll get into all of that. So he was killed at the time of the attack and by sheriffs. And this occurred, as I said, on Friday morning, on December 6th. And it brought up a whole bunch of issues. First, I'll talk about the individual issues in regard to him and his motivation. And then, of course, the larger issues in terms of why do we have people from Saudi Arabia and other countries where it's questionable if we can trust them studying at this naval air base or at any naval air base. Why are they in America? Learning how to fly airplanes and other kinds of things, military kinds of instruction. But first, the most interesting part, I think, is this question of the motivation. Now, Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani, I think I'm going to call him Mohammed for the rest of this podcast, he was in a class, as I said, he was 21 years old. He was in a class at this school, and he had been studying actually since 2017 in a program that brought Saudi nationals to the U.S. and people from other countries as well, many other countries. And he was in a class, and once upon a time, one day, the teacher, James Day, at the end of the class, called him porn stash, porn. as in pornography, stash, as in mustache. Now, apparently, depending on how familiar you are with pornography, porn stars, some male porn stars, not every male porn star by any means, but some male porn stars apparently wear mustaches like what Muhammad wore. And really, if you haven't seen a picture of him yet, Google him and look at his mustache. To me, the first impression that I had was of a Hitler mustache. He doesn't have a beard, at least at this time he doesn't. He did at one time. He doesn't have a beard. He has this ugly looking, quite frankly, ugly looking mustache. And so the teacher called him porn stash, and he didn't know what that was about. And then the teacher said something about, don't you know in pornography, you know, this, they're called porn stash, or, and he was just embarrassed. Whether he knew that some porn stars wear that or not, he was of course incredibly shamed and embarrassed and felt humiliated and so on. And needless to say, this would have increased his hatred for Americans, for shaming him. But was that enough to actually cause him to attack the naval base? Or was it an underlying deeper motivation of terrorism, of radical Islamist ideology? Now, he complained about this teacher, and two American classmates helped him file a complaint. So it wasn't that all the Americans, you know, humiliated him or were against him and so on in this incident. His classmates actually helped him. Still, this was in April of this past year, April 2019, and that actually turned out to be the same month that he filed for a gun, for a firearm. He filed papers through a loophole in the system where he could get a, or say that he was doing it, wanted this gun for hunting, and he was able to get it, a Glock 9mm pistol. Not quite sure how much that's used for hunting, but I don't pretend to be an expert on guns. Now, so one would think that, aha, that's it. You know, he was personally humiliated and shamed, and shame, of course, causes aggression in all, not all, but that is often a stimulus for whether it's a mass shooting or other kinds of violence, and not necessarily anything having to do with terrorism. It's just the idea of being shamed is a very powerful emotion. So you might think that, well, that's it. But then also, in fact, it turns out that there were postings on social media, including one the morning of the attack, and others before that, that indicated that he thought that America was, you know, was anti-Muslim. And he was angry at what America and Americans were doing in the Middle East. And he was angry at America's support for Israel. And he quoted Osama bin Laden in some of his posts. So all of these things, you know, would speak to the possibility that, in fact, it wasn't just about being called porn stash, but it was a longer, deeper rooted hatred towards America, feelings, you know, sympathies towards terrorists. And also another thing that speaks to that is that right 2 days before the shooting, he had visited New York City and notably Ground Zero and also Times Square and other terrorist type landmarks. I mean, they're also, of course, where one would go if one was a tourist. But certainly one would hope that the FBI and other authorities are putting extra security at the landmarks, the targets that he had visited. So this is, you know, this, I actually have spoken about how a lot of times when people from other countries, particularly people from countries where terrorism is rampant, that when they come to the U.S. to study, typically it would be more like for college or graduate school, or but this, you know, this is essentially a similar kind of study, that when things happen to them, such as they're ostracized by other students, or, you know, made fun of, or have these kinds of personal sorts of problems, interpersonal problems, that can send them home with a very bad feeling towards America and Americans, and can indeed, if not incite, certainly fuel their anti-American feelings. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and also we're going to talk about his family and how they have been reacting to this. So stay tuned. Welcome back. We're talking today about porn stash or radical Islam at the heart of the Pensacola shooter. You figure it out by the time we're finished. Now I'm talking, of course, about the shooting at the Pensacola, Florida Naval Air Station that occurred on December 6, 2019. The attacker, the shooter, was Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani. He was 21 years old. He was a Saudi Royal Air Force trainee, and he shot and killed three American sailors, and he was shot by sheriffs. And as I was saying in the first segment, I was talking about, you know, his teacher humiliating him, shaming him in the classroom, making fun of his mustache by calling him porn stash. And as I said, it seems more to me, he looks more to me like Hitler than he does a porn star. But hey, you can decide. You know, this has brought up a lot of issues in terms of who we train. There are more than 900 Saudi nationals in the U.S. participating in the training program. That includes lessons in English and basic aviation and pilot training. There are 5,180 students from 153 countries in the program as a whole. So I, besides the porn stash comment that may well have triggered his underlying radical Islamist beliefs, you know, some of the things that indicate that he did, that was underlying, are some of his social media tweets and posts. And, you know, he started the shooting. He opened fire in one of the classroom buildings. And of course, that also makes one think about how the remark by the teacher in his classroom, I don't know that it was the same classroom, but that would really be, if it was the same classroom, that would certainly be indicative that it was, that the porn stash comment had a very profound impact. But even it just, it being in a classroom in, you know, one of the classroom buildings actually indicates that it's related at least to porn stash, because he could have opened fire anywhere on the base. Now, the other interesting things, as this was happening, it was being videotaped by another Saudi student while the shooting was occurring. And I mean, that makes you think, of course, about the fact that this was to, you know, to send back to someone in Saudi Arabia or someone in a terrorist organization to prove that this student, Mohammed, was should be considered a martyr. And then there were two other Saudi students who were watching the shooting from a car. And this is after the shooter, Mohammed, had hosted a dinner party prior to the attack, during the week prior to the attack. And what the entertainment at the dinner party was watching mass shootings on video. So, you know, all of these things, there's just so much to analyze. And of course, you know, so, okay, question. Why didn't any of these people at the dinner party think to warn someone at the naval base? Now, after this happened, of course, they rounded up the students from the base, and notably they rounded up the Saudi students and kept them on the base. But so why is it, you know, why was this one videotaping it? What are his terrorist ties? You know, obviously they're going to be looking into all these kinds of things. He had begun the program, you know, he had come from Saudi Arabia. He was a second lieutenant in the Royal Saudi Air Force. And he, it was a big honor to be chosen to participate in this program in America. And he began the training at the station, or he began the training in the program in August 2017. And he was scheduled to be graduated in August 2020. So he was so close to graduation. What else? Oh, in the post, as I was starting to mention before, now they're still investigating whether the posts, whether the, you know, the sites, the posts actually do belong to him. It seems like, you know, initially the thinking is that they are his. There was a handle, you know, that seemed to be his. And these posts referred to the U.S. wars in Muslim countries. He wrote about hatred for the American people. He criticized Washington's support for Israel. And as I said, he quoted Osama bin Laden. So now here comes another interesting aspect to the story. When so far in the investigation, they've been finding that he seems to have started to embrace radical Islamic ideology as early as 2015. And I think they're basing this primarily on his posts. And he mentions certain religious figures, radical religious figures, who seem to have shaped his radical thought. And he talked about, you know, terrorism and the support for the Taliban and so on. Now, one of the things that is particularly interesting in this case, there's so many, the other things that I mentioned also, I just think are fascinating. I hope you do too. But what, you know, I have often talked about how when someone, a shooter or some other kind of attacker, someone perpetrates, a radical Islamist perpetrates a terrorist attack, and the people in his family and his friends, you know, all say, "What? I never knew he had these beliefs. I never knew he was going to do this. What? It's a big mystery. It's a big surprise." Well, apparently, they, of course, you know, people interviewed his family in Saudi Arabia, and his family members are calling it a mystery. But his background, his childhood and his background actually makes it seem more possible that they really didn't know, and that this really did come as a shock, because he had always had a childhood dream of becoming a pilot. And here he was, so close to being graduated from this school and already being in the Saudi Royal Air Force. This, you know, this was a big feather in his cap. And it is shocking that, as I'm going to be telling you about his family and his childhood, and it is kind of surprising that he, gave it all up, although I guess you could, there are lots of different ways of thinking about this. On the one hand, you could think, well, you know, in a way he kind of reached his goal. He might have been able to rationalize to himself that he had reached his goal in actually becoming a part of this program. And okay, he didn't finish it, but you know, he maybe with this porn stash humiliation, he lost his he lost a part of him that was that idealistic little boy who wanted to be a pilot. Well, let me tell you about his family and his childhood. He had called his family right before the attack, and he called them by video, and they say that he was wearing his uniform when he called video on this video call. And, you know, the family is saying this is the uniform he always wanted to wear as a child when he dreamed of becoming a pilot. And he was joking around with his elder brother, Abdullah. He kidded around with him saying, "You're the eldest, but I'm going to get married first." And then he was promising his mother that he was going to come home as soon as he finished his training. And he's told her just a few more months. However, this phone call was very shortly before his shooting spree. His family is saying that he sounded totally normal in the call. They said his father is Saeed Abdullah Al-Shamrani, he's 55, and he said he never had a secret, he was never hiding anything. Well, I guess there's always a first time. He said, "It's such a mystery, even we don't know the truth. Are you sure he's dead? We haven't even been given any proof of whether he's dead or alive." So, you know, it really does seem as though they are questioning it. Well, let me stop here, and I will get more into his background and why his family does seem more honestly surprised than most other families when they are asked about their terrorist after an attack. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where I'm talking today about Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani, who was the shooter in the Pensacola, Florida shooting at the Naval Air Station. And the question is, porn stash or radical Islam at the heart of the Pensacola shooter? I hope you're trying to figure that out as I go along, and I'm talking now about his family, who, unlike most families, really do seem to be rather shocked. His father and his brother and cousins and a family friend all have been interviewed, and they all have said that he seemed to always be happy in the United States, working towards his longtime goal and never mentioning difficulties. Of course, it doesn't seem like he told them about the porn stash fiasco either. You know, he was probably too ashamed to tell his family. Who said this? Oh, his brother. His brother said, since he was a kid, he'd dreamed of being a pilot, and he worked so hard for it, his brother Abdullah said. Once he arrived in the United States, he loved it so much, really. He was amazed by America's military force, just really impressed by the military. And then it turns out Mohammed was the third child in a family from Tabala, a farming town in southern Saudi Arabia. He grew up not far from the Saudi Aramco compound in eastern Saudi Arabia. And because his father had moved the family there to work in the local airport, And the father eventually rose to become a security official. So of course, you know, growing up near an airport with his father working as a security official at the airport was probably at the root of his dreams as a child of becoming a pilot. And then the family would go to visit extended family. His family would go to visit extended family back in Tabala for the summers. And this is supposed to be a beautiful town with date farms and desert and mountains. And the family built another house there. So they, you know, had to have been fairly well off relatively. And they would come back there for weddings and other family events. And on summer evenings, Muhammad and young men like him and his brothers and his cousins and so on would gather at a rented guest house in the desert to play cards and watch soccer on television late into the night. So, you know, it seemed like he had a rather decent, good childhood. I mean, of course, we don't know more details than what I'm telling you, but so far it seems, you know, like somewhat of a more privileged childhood than a lot of other people had. So, you know, other people said, though, that people who knew him in Saudi Arabia said that he was more serious and less boisterous than other young men his age. This was a friend of the family who said that. And then people who knew him there said that he would never talk about anything political. He was quiet, just a normal guy. He might talk about sports sometimes. Now, in terms of their religion, the family is described as being observant Muslims who prayed, but not radical, not strict. But people are saying that when he went back to visit his family, visit his family in Saudi Arabia this past February, that he did seem to become more religious. When he returned to America, it seemed that he had become more religious when he was in Saudi Arabia this last time when he visited it. And he said, relatives of his said that during that visit in February, he took his mother to the holy city of Mecca to perform a pilgrimage. And, you know, that they noted that, whether he had not done that before, or, you know, this was something special, or it was something that they noted, you know, probably now looking back, they remembered that. And also, they said that he had shaved his chin clean. So he used to not just have this porn stash, he used to also have a beard, but he shaved that. And now he was always a good student growing up, and he became the pride of his family when he was chosen one of two students picked from his Air Force Academy class of several hundred to enter the training program in the United States on a scholarship. I mean, this was a super big deal. And it was even more of a big deal because he came from this rural town to study in the United States. And the last young man who had done that before became locally famous. You know, it was, this doesn't happen to people from that town. His brother said, "I was so proud of him. He's the role model of the family. I'm the eldest son, but Mohammed is a big deal." And then, as I said, he started in 2017. The Saudi government started paying for him to spend a year learning English at Lackland Air Force Base, first in San Antonio. And then he moved to Pensacola for military training, and he received weapons training. He had already received weapons training in Saudi Arabia. So that's how he knew, presumably, how to operate the gun that he bought in the States. And he would send pictures back to his family, pictures of him smiling in Times Square and in his uniform with one of his American trainers, obviously not the one who called him Porn Stash. And then he would send back video that he took in Florida of friends splashing around in kayaks, and he was laughing. And he was counting down the months, supposedly, to his graduation. And so was his family. And his father told his neighbors, told his friends, that he was going to throw a huge graduation party for Mohammed when the family went back to Tabala during the summer after graduation. And so, you know, he knew that his family was super looking forward to this. Certainly, he was looking forward to this, ostensibly. And it was just hours later, after this phone call, that his family would hear the news of the terror attack. It is definitely hard to make sense of this as far as what possessed him to commit the shooting, to commit the terrorist attack. I mean, there's no other way to call it. I don't know why some people are hemming and hawing about that. Authorities always hem and haw about things that are obviously terrorist attacks, just like in London, in the recent London Bridge attack, you know, where we had to wait before the media, for example, had to wait or decided to wait. They didn't have to wait. They waited to call it a terrorist attack when it was pretty clear from the first moment that it was. But, you know, it brings up lots of questions, not only what motivated him. And clearly, you know, clearly one thing it brings up is that people who interact with foreigners, visitors, people from different cultures, whether they are naturalized citizens or just tourists or whatever, we all should be a little more sensitive to people from foreign cultures, even if they're terrorists. I mean, you know, clearly the teacher should have been, all the teachers at the base, and presume, you know, there's only been this one who there have been similar complaints about. But clearly they should be trained to not shame people from different cultures, to understand that, yes, an American might think that that's funny. An American might even have been, you know, flattered by a teacher saying that they look like a porn star. But clearly somebody from Saudi Arabia, you don't need to be a genius to figure out that someone from a culture like Saudi Arabia would not be flattered to be called a porn star. So there's that. There's also the question of, you know, should we be training Saudis? Should we be training, what country should we be training people from? Particularly training them in military lessons, you know, how to fly planes that might ultimately someday be used against us or be used against our allies. So it is making people think twice and three times and more times. But this question of whether, you know, what motivated Mohammed Saeed al-Shamrani? And my conclusion to all of this is that he was apparently, since at least 2015, when he was posting these things on social media, he was certainly influenced by radical Islam and by terrorists, including Osama bin Laden. But would he have ever perpetrated an attack had this teacher not called him Porn Stash? Probably not. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.